This is the talk of Music City Real Estate.
Welcome back to another episode of The Talk of Music City Real Estate,
where we educate and motivate all things real estate.
My name is Monty Moore with Realty One Group Music City.
Hey, and I'm Carrie Ann with CMG Financial and My Mortgage Team.
Every week we'll be posting a new episode chock full of Nashville real estate value.
Yes, and you can follow along and subscribe at talkmusiccity.com.
Got a question for us? Ask away at questions at talkmusiccity.com. That's questions at talkmusiccity.com.
Monty.
Carrie Ann, so good to see your smiling face.
Good to see you. Yes, we are back.
And we have with us the one and only.
The one. And very, very talented.
Tommy McKenzie. Tommy, thanks for joining us today.
Well, thanks for having
Tommy has got his own podcast, as I was mentioning, and a YouTube channel that everybody wants to tune into on learning more about this topic that we're going to be, one thing for sure, this topic we're going to be discussing today.
It's a hot topic.
That's why I asked Tommy to come on with us, because he's debunking the BS. That's what I call it.
There's a lot of BS out there.
A lot of it.
AKA media.
A lot of it, yeah. You know. And the BS we're talking about today is the BS about lies being stated by the national news media about our recent lawsuit settlement or proposed lawsuit settlement.
Mm-hmm. Yes, you guys are not villains.
We're not. You do, any more do, than you're a villain. Yes.
You know, I've let that go a long time ago. So we continue to lead with our hearts and do good. Yeah. We'll prevail for sure.
First,
so
before we get started, Carrie Ann, I want to say thank God for a good report for you.
Oh, okay? Thank you. Yeah, went through a little minor scare there. Just a minor little thing.
Just a minor one.
Yeah,
sure.
But we've stuck the landing. I'm grateful. You know, I will tell you that early detection does save lives. So I'm grateful for that. And the process of what I went through is just overwhelming to think of what ladies go through and the emotional toll. And just all my hearts and prayers go out to all the amazing ladies that are out there that are fighting each and every day with breast cancer, and we'll fight continually for a cure for that for sure. So
I know it's already near and dear to your heart.
Yes.
With your mom's overcoming.
And my sister and my grandmother, you know, yeah. So it's in the family, but we're moving in a forward direction, and we're getting back to doing good out there. And so I'm grateful that we're here and we're talking about, you know, something, you know, I was sharing with you earlier in the week, you know, sometimes when things happen, we experience the recession, right? We live through that. How many years again have you been in this industry? How many things have you actually lived through there, Monty?
Well, all of them in the last four decades,
yeah,
however
right?
many that's been.
Yes, but there's a lot has happened, right? So we made it through the recession.
Yeah.
We're still standing. We made it through, you know, the COVID times, right, with the industry, you know, and so this is just another, you know, situation that we're going to make it through. And so continuing to think of this as just a opportunity, you know, to charge forward. They talk about, what does a cow do and a bison do in a storm?
Right,
do you know the difference?
Right,
yeah. You know, a cow backs up and protects himself, and a bison charges forward, right? And so that's what we're going to do and talk and debunk a lot of the myths today.
Amen. Amen to that. So I'm excited about that. So one thing I want to say, I don't revel in anybody's pain, but there was going to be some pain in our industry. And that typically, in my experience in the past, has meant that there will be fewer people involved in the industry. Mm-hmm. And that's truly been expected in this round of events and expectations. And again, I don't revel in anybody's pain, but I do want to encourage all of you that are totally committed, actually committed to this industry, committed to serving humanity with one of the most critically important times of their lives, and that's buying and selling real estate. If you'll stay committed and continue to bring value to those families you've been entrusted with, you have nothing to worry about at the end of the day, because your demand isn't going away. It's those folks that jumped in for a quick buck, who are putting money ahead of serving and honoring and loving others. Yeah, they're going to be challenged, I'm willing to bet, you know, in this whole experience. But my first word of this whole topic is, be of good cheer. If your heart's in the right place and you continue to bring value and love people and are honest and answer your phone, those kind of things, the future is very bright for us. Mm-hmm. Real estate is not going away. The need for a realtor is not going away. Right now, around somebody's kitchen table, they're having a conversation saying, we need to sell our home. because, you know, you can fill in the because. Maybe they're pregnant, maybe they're being transferred, maybe they're divorcing, maybe they're downsizing, maybe they're retiring. But some conversations happening right now, and most of those folks understand the value of a professional to help them through that.
Yeah, and adventure. Being a true professional, I think, is what we're talking about, right?
Yeah.
I mean, look at my industry. I mean, 50% of my industry is out, right? So that just tells you right there, people get in any industry for sometimes the wrong reasons, right? And the ones that will rise are the ones that continue to move in a forward direction, doing good for the industry, and thinking creatively, right? Creating solutions. Yes, we've been posed with this new challenge, a change, but we embrace change. You know, we elevate through that. And I think the ones that educate themselves really strongly, I think that's the key, right, to all of it. And not just assume it's being said, you know, really educate yourself. I think you'll rise above. So
today's effort is going to be to help you, the real estate professional, help change the narrative that the news media has gotten onto here lately. And I believe, as I was sharing earlier, I think that starts with having your own personal conviction. We know we're of value, but how do you articulate that effectively? It starts with understanding the breakdown of what the things that are being said, and then we discuss those things so we know how to counter those things when you hear those things. I was in a listing appointment earlier today, and one of the first things out of the mouth of this lady who owns a almost $2 million home was, I understand that there's things in place to get rid of the realtor. And I said, nope, not, false, you know. And I explained to her, because I've been doing my homework, as I hope everybody really is here and not just expecting to wing it when the time comes. So anyhow, that's why I wanted to have Tommy on here, because I've not seen anybody do a better job of breaking things down, debunking the BS that's been stated out there. Okay, so anyway, so let's Tommy, tell us who you are, and move that mic a little bit closer to you, and let us know why we should believe you. First of all, you've been in the business for how long?
I'll be in the business almost 10 years.
Okay.
So I started in 2014, 2015.
Yeah, that's a pretty good experience, and you know better. Apparently, you've been in it long enough to know better, and you're still in it, so that's a good sign.
It must be committed.
So you're with RE/MAX for quite a while, I understand.
I was with RE/MAX up until last year.
Yeah, okay. I was with RE/MAX for 27 years. Great company. And so you have had a passion in your heart when this whole thing come up, to debunk it, to really break it down. And you've got a great video talking about this in more detail than what we can hit today. Let's make sure, or let's do it now, just so I don't forget. When you get to be an old guy like me, sometimes you forget stuff and you got to say it when you're still sitting there behind your brain. How can somebody who's interested in this topic and wants to really internalize the value of this, understanding this topic, how do they find your YouTube channel?
If you look up Tommy McKenzie Homes on YouTube, that'll take you directly to my channel. You'll find videos about this topic and many others about real estate.
Okay, perfect, perfect. All right, so tell me, Tommy, I mean, other than being a good guy and being in the business 10 years, what do you feel, why do you feel this passionate too? Because you went right to the narrative part of it. You went there before I did. I know that it drove me nuts seeing those little clippets, the snippets that you put in there. I just wanted to punch somebody, you know. Is that what inspired you?
I have always believed that truth is worth more than any lie. And if people are asking me to represent them in the biggest transactions of their lives, then they've got to be able to trust that what I'm saying is true. And what's being told about the industry right now in the media is not truth.
No.
And so I have to be ready to be able to address the falsehoods or the false narrative that's out there in a way that they can understand what is actually happening versus what they're being told.
So true.
It goes back to, you know, like I've been asking encouraging our agents for a long time now, is let's all think. Let's all not just be sheep and sheeple and follow the path, but let's think. Why would they be saying something like this? You know, I don't want to go down a rabbit hole. I promise you I'm not going to, but there's some thoughts that they're trying to do away with home ownership. Well, who would be in line to make that happen except, you know, knock the realtor out of the way, knock the lender out of the way, do those kind of things. Let all the new homes out there be owned by big corporations like BlackRock, and everybody's going to rent and be happy with that, is what I've heard. But anyhow, we're going to stand firm and continue to bring value to the consumer. So what I wanted to do is, this is a real simple list of, I think, about seven things that somebody in out of Inman approached, and I wanted to explore this a little further. We covered these things in yesterday's huddle call, but I want to give, each one deserves more time than what I was able to give it yesterday. So to start with it, I'll just read this. Last week, the National Association of Realtors announced a settlement agreement between Sitzer Burnett case and would take effect July. For those who missed the declarations of the media that this outcome will render transactions real estate almost free, protect consumers, and make homeownership affordable, once again, the settlement does none of that. Let's make that clear. It does none of that.
Right.
Okay. So topic number one, the settlement forces brokers to reduce their compensation. Is that right or wrong, Tommy?
That could not be farther from the truth.
Let's break that down.
Currently, if I go on a listing appointment and I am talking to a seller about listing their house, I'm going to discuss things such as the value that offering a cooperating compensation brings and the potential of possibly bringing in more buyers to their property. Compensation has never been a standard across this industry.
Oh, it hasn't, but that's what we're being accused of.
That's what we're being accused of. Yeah. But there's never been the such thing that the media is saying the 6% commission is dead. That has never been the case. There's never been a standard 6% commission.
If you looked across the country, it's probably closer under 5, I think, now, something like that.
I can charge 8% if I want to. There's never been a standard.
No, yet. Never, ever.
So the idea that this settlement would force that to change or force a change in the compensation, there was never a standard to begin with, so there is no change.
Correct. And this gentleman puts it very succinct, I think. The settlement has in no way established a standard of limitation on realtors for what they may charge or nor services they elected to deliver. I know you had a great podcast I saw where you broke down the different types of options that the consumer has.
Right.
A flat fee company who maybe offers just a couple things, or a full service company who, and everything in between.
Right.
That first one's false. The settlement forces brokers to reduce their compensation. Not. Number two, the settlement will, for the first time, allow sellers to no longer pay compensation for the agent bringing the buyer. Is that true or false?
That's false on at least two different ways.
Let's explore those.
The first way it's false is in the Middle Tennessee market, we have usually operated under a cooperating compensation model. Mm-hmm. So when a listing brokerage goes in and provides a service to the seller, they are disclosing to the seller that they are going to offer a certain percentage or a certain amount of the compensation they're charging to bring in a buyer's broker.
So the money's really coming from the listing agent.
Right. So that immediately gets rid of the idea that the seller was paying for it to begin with.
Right, I agree.
This settlement also does not remove the ability of the seller to offer cooperating compensation.
Right.
So if the listing brokerage is only charging 2 or 3% to the seller, and they have a buyer come in that wants that cooperating compensation taken care of, they can negotiate for the seller to cover the buyer's compensation.
I honestly think, and I haven't clarified this yet with an attorney, I'm still trying to do that, but when I was in Florida, and I know we're in Tennessee here, but years ago when I was in Florida, 27 years ago, every offer of mine got had an addendum attached to it that said that my buyer has agreed to pay me X percent. In that case, it was actually 3.5%. And that 3.5% is calculated in this offer that we're presenting today. And for ease of operation, the buyer has requested that you pay that out of the proceeds, just for ease of operation, which all made sense. And most of the time, that's what I got paid, how I got paid. But it was, I carried that to Nashville, and they said you can't negotiate with compensation in mind. But I do believe that's going to be leaving, right?
I believe that's probably a change we're going to see. I mean, currently, you can negotiate compensation before.
You have a conversation.
Right. You can have a conversation, and if the other side's only offering 2.5 and you're saying, no, we need 3, you mm-hmm. can work on that negotiation. It just can't be part of the purchase and sale agreement right now.
Right.
But I think because of the ruling because of this settlement, that's probably going to be a necessity that changes.
Well, I think it's going to have to be, because Carrie Ann, you can speak in on this better than us, but
right.
Do you see the possibility of the mortgage world being able to allow financing in a real estate commission?
Well, we keep asking the agencies, you know, their thoughts, and they're kind to respond. And I've received many responses. I know FHA came out last week, and Fannie came out today. But basically, they're stating, you know, no specific guidance. This was from Fannie Mae. No specific guidance from us yet, other than we are aware of recent announcements that NAR agreed to settle the pending buyer broker commission lawsuits. The settlement must be approved by the court. Once we get the details of the settlement, we'll evaluate the potential implications of the housing industry. We'll continue to monitor the litigation. So right now, they're really just waiting to see. So it does go back to commission is one aspect. Down payment is another aspect. Right. Closing cost is a third, right? So we have three columns for a buyer to have to look into, right? Mm-hmm. Again, you're going to share with me as a buyer's agent when I interview you, you know, you're going to your unique proposition of what you're going to do and provide all the values and things. Right. And then we're going to figure out, you're right, you charge blank for this commission and you charge that for that commission, right? And so that's one column. And then the down payment, I'm going to put 3% down, 5% down, 0% down, 10% down, right? And we've got that. And then the customary closing cost associated with what you're looking for. If you're buying down an interest rate, right, your closing costs are going to be higher because you're paying discount points and different things like that. So I think we're going to have to navigate, you know, those three separately and come up with a plan A and plan B. You know, I think the hard thing for you looking in at it from somebody on the outside and take me out of lending, but looking out, you know, everybody deserves to get paid for the work efforts that they've put into it. You right. all work very, very hard. To think like we have our own schedule is 90 hours plus a week and multiple hours, you know, right. on the weekends, et cetera, and raising kids and doing all the things. I don't have to get in a car. I can't imagine getting in a car and traveling to address A, address B, all, you know, where I'm behind a computer. That's also, you know, different. But with all that to be said, now we just have to figure out the best, you know, solution. Maybe that commission is part of the concession, right? And, you know, is the word commission a bad word now? Is that going to be changed, you know? Is that, you know, going to be a different word to have the sellers, you know, feel more comfortable, you know? So the discussion continues, you know, at the end of the day, the seller is the one that decides what he or she wants to do. Does that home sit because of what she and he decided to do? Possibly, yeah. Right?
Well, I think this needs to be part of the conversation is that, let's say, Mr. and Mrs. Seller, you have 10 potential buyers for your home. Let's say, though, that if you decide not to compensate their representation, and they would have to, let's say that number just went down to, I don't know, 7, 6, 5, I don't know. But it's going to affect some because, as experienced professionals, Tom and I both know that a lot of folks barely get the down payment together, let alone closing costs and a buyer broker's fee. So there's going to be, you know, so anyhow, that's going to be real interesting. I'll never forget a time, and I want to share this real quickly, because again, we're trying to give you artillery basically, or a conviction. If you've been in the business any length of time, you've already probably been developing that conviction. You know, you're not overpaid. Okay. The reason why we make what we do is because a lot of times we don't get anything. Is that right, Tommy? Have you right. ever done any work for somebody in that capacity? I was telling somebody today that's an agent here that studied to be an attorney to start with. I said, you know, we may go to some level, I mean, some cases anyhow, with some sort of an hourly situation where we can actually charge folks. I promise you, I've not made that great at dollar per hour right. of all the hours I've put into mm-hmm. our industry. And one time I had sold a home I had the listing, and the next day I sold it, and they saw the fee I was charging, and they pushed back on it. They said, "Do you think you honestly earned that much money in 24 hours?" And I said, "Hell no, I didn't earn that much money in 24 hours, but for the last 10 years, I was practicing so I could learn to do that, right. okay? Because there was hundreds of deals I didn't get paid on at all." Mm-hmm. But I said, "Mr. and Mrs. Seller, if selling it too quick is a problem, we can, let's cancel this one and let's let it happen, you know, like you would prefer it. So you feel like you got your money's worth. You know, they obviously backed up and said, no, we appreciate it. You know, we didn't think of it that way.
I heard someone say today, which was so true, right? Buyers want a great deal and sellers want to sell their house for the most money. So how do we merge both, right? And make it a win, or make them both feel as if they're, you know, it is a win for them. So I think that is working hard to create the solution. But you're right. I mean, we all work really hard. There's multiple loans that I do that I don't get paid on anything because I facilitate it, right? Mm-hmm. That particular loan. I think that's what makes the best, you know, and then the others that possibly have tainted this industry or that industry. That's just sadly, you know, that 80-20 rule, right? 20% of the folks that have done things the wrong way we're paying for, right? I mean, think about the mortgage world of what happened back in the day when all of a sudden that got out of control, you know, and we've been digging that out, you know, very slowly. So putting some parameters or increasing the conversation and making sure it's very transparent with all parties, and taking a moment and rebuilding the confidence within, and you being able to sell your worth and your value to another, is not easy for some, right? To be able to talk about that. It's just, hey, I'd love to help you, right? And maybe you didn't have a buyer's presentation before. I don't know. Do you have one?
I have over the years, yeah.
Yeah, then maybe some don't, right? Maybe it was just so natural where people just were able to, you know, pick up a buyer's agent. Now it might be more of an interview process.
It's always been that way. Fortunately for us, we live in a state where it has been recommended highly, strongly, that there is a buyer's rep. Signing that before somebody's gotten in the front door, that's what's going to be, you know, odd. And I don't see that as putting the consumer first. And that's what I have a trouble with on that. But let me read what he wrote on this second point, and then we'll go on to number three. So again, the question or the statement was, the settlement will, for the first time, allow sellers to no longer pay compensation for an agent bringing the buyer. We know that's false. There has never been an obligation for the seller to pay buyer agent compensation. Yet it's a practice that worked well. A past rule requiring an offer of some amount of compensation was a rule of display on a realtor-owned MLS, yet it could have been as low as a dollar. That limitation was removed, and today the MLS accepts all listings regardless of buyer agent consideration. Let me take everybody back a little bit. I know when you listen to me very often, you get to go back into time and remember how we carved it on the wall on our contract and so forth, you know, in the cave wall. But seriously, when I got involved in the business, everybody worked for the seller because the seller paid the commission. Everybody worked for the seller. And so we made up this term called caveat emptor, buyer beware. Why did the buyer have to beware? Because they had no representation. Over time, there were enough disgruntled buyers who recognized they just got ripped off because nobody was representing them. And they threw a bit of a tissy, rightfully so, because it seemed like a one-sided situation. And so eventually we acknowledged that, okay, the buyer needs a rep and the seller needs a rep. But here's what I always hang that my hat on that topic is my conviction, doesn't mean it's real. Equity dollars spend easier than pocket dollars. Equity dollars, the money that's come into the equity of that property spends less painfully than somebody having to come out of pocket to pay it. Even though, again, we can argue this, the buyer's the only one bringing money to the table because of you anyhow. So who's really brought the cash to the table? I think it's the buyer, determined on the market value of that property. That's what they're paying. Anyway, we can go around in circles. The point is, if we don't work out a solid remedy to this, which I believe we are, that's what we'd go back to, is a one-sided scenario, which only, you know, gets back to the Wild Wild West where the buyer has no representation. I shared many times over my first listing, the guy took me into one of the closets now, said, see that big stain on the ceiling? I'm getting covered that up with some kills, so don't worry about it. And I went back to my broker as my first listing, and I said, that doesn't feel right. And he goes, that's what caveat emptor looks like. Buyer beware. We can't say anything to the buyer because we're working for the seller. We don't want that scenario, right, Tommy?
No, we
don't. All right, topic number three, the settlement prohibits sellers from paying a commission to a buyer's agent and relieves sellers of the financial burden of that. What's your thoughts on that, Tommy?
Completely false again.
You know, I wish we had, you know, and we could do this, but we don't have to, because we can send them to your YouTube channel, where you brought these news
clips,
actual news clips, where they're actually lying through their teeth. Okay. And Tommy so eloquently debunks that BS. But Tommy, tell us about this. The settlement prohibits sellers from paying commission to a buyer's agent, or relieves sellers from financial burden. Let's talk about that.
Well, first of all, nothing about this settlement prohibits anything as far as changes in how compensation is structured. The only change in this is how it's disclosed, which is through the MLS. You no longer can disclose any buyer's rep compensation in the MLS.
Right.
So this statement that's being propagated is completely false. The seller still has every opportunity that they did before, and they have every opportunity to reject as they did before. It's nothing as far as that process has changed at all.
Right. So what was the main point of it then? Anybody?
My gut says the main point was some attorneys to get some money.
Oh, okay. Yeah, and there was some conversation about, you know, trying to change the compensation, right? Like making, like they did to lending, right? Right? Back in the day, you know, you could get paid this on one loan and that on another loan, and then the CFPB rolled out and major changes, you know, were very clear. If you work for, you know, if you're a broker, you can do what you want, which is crazy to me. But if you work for lending establishments, you have to follow these right. rules, right? So whether I sell this loan is across the board the same amount of money. My commission doesn't change. So possibly, you know, that is. But changing the MLS, if that's the answer to the settlement, is it because that they were trying to say that, you know, I was showing this property because the commission was higher than that, and now I should just show all properties, and whatever the commission is what the seller agrees to pay?
Their argument is that realtors were steering clients toward houses that offered a higher compensation amount. But in reality, a buyer has every right to make decisions on what house they're going to look at and what house they're going to offer on based on how it affects their bottom line. So if they have an agreement with me that they're going to be paying me 2.5% and this house over here is only offering 2%, then they have the right to decide whether it's worth it to them or not, whether to see that property.
That makes sense, right? And they could pay the difference if they wanted to, right?
Right.
I mean, I do think if you polled all buyers out there, would you feel more comfortable paying, you know, the commission, the down payment and closing cost, you know, in cash? Or are you comfortable raising the price to cover, you know, the concessions, you know, commission, et cetera? It'd be interesting to see the poll's answers. Right. I would think more people would lean to the right on that topic.
I'll say one thing on that topic. I think where really truly where the core of this whole problem is originated, I think, other than some people recognizing that some ambulance chasing attorneys.
Yes.
If you're listening, that's what I'm calling you, an ambulance chasing attorney. Hopefully you're not listening because anyway, you're probably busy chasing an ambulance. Anyhow, so
I've got the receipts.
So I think the honestly, and it's not necessarily a promotion to our industry. It needs change. But I think that if somebody, Billy Bob or Sally Sue, who got their license yesterday, can charge the same as Tommy McKenzie, they're not going to have the same experience.
Right.
They can't. No offense to Tommy, or not Tommy, but no offense to Billy Bob and Sally Sue. But Tommy's been in the business for a decade.
Right.
He knows what he's doing, where these folks, they may know the people, they might be family members who decided to put their trust in these folks. And it's not a slam on them, but they don't know what they don't know.
They haven't walked through this process dozens and dozens of times.
Exactly, but we're all lumped under this one umbrella called the real estate agent.
Mm-hmm. Similar to if I go to attorney A or attorney B, right? Depending on their...
But they had to go through a lot of, you know, education to get to that point.
But one's charging one per hour, another's charging another per hour, right?
Correct. The better they are, the more they can charge.
Yeah, right. Similar when I'm paying more for one vehicle versus another, I assume there's more, you know, perks, more value adds, right? So similar to real estate, there should be, you know, a consideration.
But until the consumer experiences a bad time, but they won't know the difference. But then at that point, they're willing to deal with a company like a like an open door or something that will buy the property and not let a realtor in the house, because they lumped us all together, not recognizing the intricacies, the details, the nuances of every transaction being different, and having an experienced professional in your corner versus no offense to family members that just got their license, but you know, there's going to be a rocky road possibly there. So my personal gut is that they should require, like here, as you know, Tommy, as you know, Carrie Ann, we require new agents to go through a mentorship program.
Right.
We require them for the first six transactions to be mentored by their own personal mentor. And those mentors are mentored and they are held accountable and they have a protocol. We want to make sure that their foundation is solid. Like I was just interviewing a new agent yesterday. I said, look, our goal is not to get, you know, to keep you from making the most you can by putting you on a 70-30 split for six transactions. It's to make sure you have somebody qualified in your corner that has a financial interest in your well-being so that nothing gets lost here, that you don't end up in that statistic of 87% don't make it into year three. We want to make sure that our numbers are flip-flopped, because we want to make sure you have, the, first of all, the foundation. To, value follows, prosperity follows value. It doesn't follow hoping and wishing or accidental luck. You become valuable by immersing yourself in the industry. You become valuable by being mentored by a great mentor like yourself. Tommy, you're one of the mentors here in the organization. I'm so grateful for. But do you agree what I'm saying there about we've all been lumped under one umbrella, and
Definitely.
People don't understand that they really owe it to themselves to find somebody skilled in the industry, or at least somebody being mentored by somebody skilled Right. who's accountable to that mentor?
Yes. I mean, I can go through any number of scenarios. A brand new agent they're trained in the basics. They're trained to know the law.
They're trained to stay out of jail. That's about
right.
it, you know?
They don't understand how to protect the client's earnest money deposit.
No.
They don't understand how to take care of that. They don't understand what are things that they're allowed to say whenever they're dealing with walking through a property versus things that they're outside of their level of expertise.
They don't understand the importance of a home inspection.
Right, they don't.
Or dealing with a great lender. Won't mention any names other than Carrie Ann Sear with CMG. But seriously, they don't understand. They just let them, the bank said it's easier because you've already got your checking account here, not realizing they got to go through everything there as
and
well.
And your strength of negotiation, right?
Yeah,
I mean, that's huge, right?
Yeah,
and I think that's where this is going to come down to. You guys negotiate closing costs on a regular basis, the proper purchase price, right? All the things. You're going to include this and you're going to include that and everything. You're so great at that. Now, you know, negotiating, you know, the commission. Can you do that? Negotiate the commission?
Well, now we can. To me, it's a beautiful thing, because now I don't have to deal with some knucklehead doesn't know how to negotiate my commission. I can negotiate it straight up with the seller.
So if seller A, I call listing agent and they say this house is not being represented with commission, I don't know the proper terminology, you're not offering a buyer's commission on this particular purchase price.
Right.
Could I still put an offer in and negotiate that? Or is that already, the word commission has to be removed from my contract? I'm curious.
I don't think we've gotten that far along.
We haven't gotten that far along, but at this point, we can already do some negotiating on that already, even if they're offering lower than what you're charging your buyer.
I see.
So that's still up in the air on how that's going to look, if it can be moved to the purchase and sale agreement and the actual negotiating for the property itself, or if that still has to be handled beforehand.
I see.
Yeah, that's what's still being cleared up. Topic number four, the settlement will serve to meaningfully lower prices and make homeownership affordable again. I mean, how do you read that with a straight face? I'm sorry.
That's ridiculous.
Tommy, any thoughts on that? Homeownership's going to be affordable now for the first time, right?
Okay, so now I am listing your house for 6%. Let's just use that number, their number that they say is the standard. Are you, as the seller, now going to drop your home's price 6%? Because you no longer have to pay me a commission?
No, you're not.
No. It's not going to have any effect on what the value of that property is, what they perceive the value of the property. They're going to still want the highest amount possible out of that property.
Yeah.
The only way to make homes more affordable is to create more supply to cover the demand.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And change the income statuses of most, right? We need to fix that problem,
yes.
too.
Mm-hmm.
So here's what he says here. Values in real estate are determined by supply and demand. Thank you, Tommy, for saying that. Fees in a real estate transaction represent additional expenses, yet these include not only commissions, but many other related charges. Should real estate commissions be reduced by 1% because of compression, that $500,000 home will now cost $495. Not only is the potential impact marginal at best, but do you think the seller now believes the home is worth less and will happily give the difference to the buyer? Just like you said, not, it won't happen. But here's the thing that will happen. Okay. And I touched on that earlier, is if you, for instance, Mr. and Mrs. Seller have 10 buyers that would possibly be for your home, qualified and interested and so forth, you've just shrunk that number. Now, I'm no math whiz, but if you're shrinking the number of available buyers for you, do you think the value of your home just went up or just went down? It probably went down. I'm not forecasting anything here. I'm just saying that it's that supply and demand that drives prices up, not the reduction of potential buyers. It's the increase of potential buyers. Any thoughts on that, Tommy?
Well, what drove our prices up to begin with were the amount of potential buyers chasing the product. Over the past few years, we've had a very big imbalance of way more buyers than we did have supply. Mm-hmm. And that in itself put us in a situation where we saw insanity ensue, where we saw 100,000 above list, 200,000 above list. Right. If you reduce the number of buyers, then you don't have competition for your property. Now your property sitting on the market instead of selling in a week, and it's sitting on the market 45 days later. We're talking price reductions.
Yeah. So there goes your big savings.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Because the demand wasn't decreased. Topic number five. Excuse me. The settlement is a win for buyers who will now be able to negotiate the fee for representation.
Now, I understood out of all the states, there's only a few that had a buyer's rep agreement carved out. So maybe that now is a discussion for multiple states. We here in Middle Tennessee or in Tennessee have always had that, correct? Mm-hmm.
Yes, mm-hmm. We've had that for quite a while, and it has been it has been very helpful to have that because we're forced to have that conversation early on and to really do a good job of outlining what our value is as a buyer's agent if we're representing a buyer. Mm-hmm.
And it goes back to your confidence, being confident, you within your profession, right? This is, and I've had great conversations and I'm learning so much from some of those confident agents who have a script. And I thought having proper scripts, not as a negative, it's just proper scripts to help you feel more confident with what you're going to say. You know, I think that's definitely a win. And so I'm able right now to say, well, Monty, I can only afford, if I'm paying cash, I can only afford blank dollar, right? Maybe that's a flat fee or that's a percentage. What happens if you agree to that number, right? And I will represent you for that number. When I go find a particular home and they were willing to pay commission, does that commission change for the buyer or it's whatever is agreed upon on the document that you and I carved out on day one?
The way I understand the way the settlement affects it is they're trying to make sure that amount is carved out on day one. However, in Tennessee, we have the ability to amend buyer's rep agreements just like we have the ability to amend seller's rep agreements.
I see.
So if I go into a property and if we go into a property and they're offering more,
right,
then it's certainly not out of bounds right now to file an amendment on the buyer's rep agreement to make sure that's covered. But it's always been negotiable. This settlement changes nothing as far as my conversation with a buyer whenever they come in.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And I think it does go back to that, what we brought up earlier is about that value. When you say, you know, somebody can negotiate now with the buyer's agent, we've always been able to do that. But if somebody really feels like, no, I don't want to work for less than a certain dollar amount, then what do they do? They have to go down the road and find somebody else, probably somebody less experienced in many cases.
Yeah.
Not all, but I mean, because, you know, I've always looked at it as in a flexible fashion. I see the value of the relationship more than the value of the dollar in most cases. But at the same time, it's got to be a win-win relationship.
You know, if I feel like they're going to be... You know, not all doctors are paid the same either.
No,
you know, I went to get a facial... There's a facial place right down the street here, right? Mm-hmm. I can choose to go there and pay that fee, or I can choose to drive to Nashville with somebody I feel more comfortable with and pay a larger fee. I mean, those are, you know, my choices. And I decide if that's valuable, you know, for me, right, with what they're going to provide. So, yeah, it's quite an interesting world we're going to be moving into to see if that even changes the thought process of buyer A. You know, right. They're going to question your worth. It's, you know, now it may be that I only have so much money,
yeah,
you know, in cash. And if we're not able to have that covered,
right,
this is all that I have, you know.
That's when they're going to be trusting me as if I'm representing them as a buyer's agent to be ready to fight for them like a pit bull over a pork chop.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
You know, so I'm going in and representing their interest and fighting to try to get the seller and the seller's agent to come to terms that mm-hmm. work for my buyer.
Similar to like when they apply for a mortgage, right? So yeah. They apply and they say, I have no money for a down payment, right? I need 100% financing, and or my credit score is this. And we say, well, with that credit score, the cost associated with that loan is blank, right? And so to gain home ownership within this short period of time, we need to, A, have you save it, get it gifted, or have it covered by the seller, right? So, I mean, those are right. The thoughts. So very similar to what you were doing right now to negotiate, you know, the closing costs for that particular buyer. We're trying to meet the needs and wants of each individual. Yes. I think every profile is a little different, right? Storyline.
Topic number six, the settlement will result in significant restitution to consumers who have been harmed over recent years in their transactions by realtors. I mean, anyway, just... I hate being made the bad guy when I know that's not true. You know, to be a successful professional in this industry, you got to have a giving heart.
Right.
You got to love people. You got to be patient. You got to be kind. Mm-hmm. You know, you got to be, you know, you can't be about the money. You know, yeah, I mean, I'm money motivated as anybody, but it can't be about the money. You know, if you love the people, the money will follow. If you create the value, the money will follow. If you're insistent on being intentional about being excellent at what you're doing, the money will follow. But, you know, this part is hard to even read, the topic part of it, because you and I, Tommy, know truly who made money in this whole deal.
Mm-hmm. Right.
It's not going to be the consumer. It's going to be the ambulance chasing attorneys. And when I saw some things on Facebook the other day, if you bought a home from this company in the last 5 years, you could be owed money. That's disgraceful. It's you know, and I'm sorry, I'm on a rant maybe, but, you know, so often now I see, not so much in Tennessee, but we go back and forth to Orlando a lot. And in Orlando, there must be at least a dozen billboards talking about this one particular attorney helping people make billions of dollars or millions of dollars. You know, so-and-so got me $1 million. And what kind of attitude does that create in our the consciousness of our society, except that I'm looking for a way that I can rip off the guy who bumps my car or whatever. It just creates that. It only feeds that litigiousness. It's so sad. Mm-hmm. You know, but anyway, let me read here so people can make sure we make this point. The settlement is huge when one divides the amount of number potentially qualifying consumers. It works out to be $10 per person. Those benefiting are the attorneys who have submitted requests to the court for over $80 million in fees.
Right.
Okay? The attorneys have submitted over $80 million in fees, and the average homeowner who's going to benefit so much from this gets 10 bucks. Okay? Not enough to go to McDonald's. As a result, as a real estate professional over 40 years, I've had the privilege of working with realtors who represent the public in what is likely their largest investment. What I have witnessed are the countless situations where an agent has gone above and beyond to help buyers realizing their dreams and sellers maximizing their returns, often serving in ways far beyond their job description. Mm-hmm. I think that point is probably what upsets me the most. Here they are shouting from the housetop with all the help from the stinking news media, how bad the realtor is. How bad the realtor is, you know, look at how bad they are. In the meantime, they're getting stacks and stacks and stacks of money
right.
for making us the bad guy.
Not only that, what are you telling the consumer when you're telling them you were not intelligent enough to understand what you were signing?
Well, that's a whole other story there. Yeah.
I mean, it's like I look at these lawsuits that were pressed and look at the settlement and that was brought out because of the lawsuits, and I'm going, okay, where are the contracts that these plaintiffs signed where they agreed to what they're now complaining about.
Yeah. Yeah. They signed, they agreed to it. They needed their home sold.
Right.
And why isn't DOJ, he brings up a good point. Why isn't the DOJ going after attorneys to charge less? Right. I mean, honestly, this is beyond, to me, hard to, I mean, yeah, it's hard to keep a straight face.
You're yelling at me about 5 to 6% and you're taking 33%.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. You're taking 33% of stuff that you are ripping.
I get it. I'm with you.
I'm sorry. I can't, it just pisses me off, just to be real. Okay. In case you're wondering.
He's real.
Why don't you tell us how you really feel? He's being real.
Well, a lot of that, it sounds like what's being referenced in the media, it was all quite false. So that's what we learned there, which many of us on this call and listening to the podcast know that and know our worth, right? Mm-hmm. And so, you know, with the proposed changes, it's just going to make us sharpen the knife, pivot, create, you know, and really take the time to say, you know what, I'm not going to slow down.
No, we're going to lean into it.
We're going to be a bison and charge through, right? And serve more and help more. I think when you, again, it's going to ignite that passion in all of us, which you have to do just that, I think. So
absolutely, Tommy. So thanks so much for joining us today. I appreciate your insights, and I appreciate again the recent video you put together debunking it with actual news snippets. I don't know how you kept a straight face. You know, it was really hard for me not just to want to punch the phone when I was watching your YouTube, just because I hate to be lied about. I know the value that I bring to the table. You know the value you bring to the table, each of you. And that's what we're talking about here, guys. Develop a conviction that you understand the details of this stuff that's going on here, and change. Help us change the narrative. The consumer has got to have no question in their hearts that we are a much needed advocate, not an added expense, not the bad guy. They don't want to go out there. They would never go to a situation in court and represent themselves 99% of the time, because they would know better than that. You don't want to buy a house representing yourself. You want to have somebody in your corner. When you consider spending hundreds of thousands of dollars, the investment of a real estate professional is pennies, absolute pennies.
So good. Thank you all for joining us this week. We can't wait to have you come back. You've been listening to The Talk of Music City Real Estate.